Okay, well, we missed a couple of weeks, and we're back in Genesis. Hopefully, we'll finish up for Joseph today. We're going to pick up in Genesis 37. We'll pick up at 37. This will be more of a summary of sorts before we move on to the next character. Try to bring out some of the high points that we may have forgot about over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to pick up in Genesis 37. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3, maybe 4, and we'll open in prayer. Genesis 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So we'll open here in prayer. Father, we thank you for another opportunity as we come together to look into your word. We pray, as always, for more insight and enlightenment as we read these things. And we thank you for the format that we have. And we pray that our time here would be edifying for the saints and glorifying to you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. This is going to be a summary of sorts. And one of the things of all the information that is recorded about Joseph, there's about, I counted, almost 40 different instances where Joseph is a type of Christ. And you can go through and validate those things. You may find more. But because there are so many different issues in there, we're just going to look at a few things that I think that are important for us going forward. And a couple of things we already covered, which was Joseph was 17 years old when he is introduced by Scripture. His father loved him more than all his brethren. And this coat of many colors that his father makes, and the dreams that Joseph has. These things are critical to keep in memory when you're going forward, because these are the issues that focus on Joseph's, number one, his position that he has been given by God. And his father, Jacob, brings that out by pointing out the love that he has over his brethren, the coat that he makes for his son, and all the other instances we go through, we'll see some of these things. That coat focuses on the position that Jacob has given Joseph as the heir, as the next in line to bring God's purpose to fruition. Now, and Jacob doesn't do this, but it's actually God's doing. Jacob is, he's just a character. He's playing his part, and whether he knows this or not, Joseph being his firstborn son with Rachel. All these things, as we note them, they add to the picture of how special this man is and the focus that God wants to give through these events. So we're going to pick up and try to go through here. Verse 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And I want to talk about that coat for a minute. That's the coat that's given to those who are of authority, those who are the rulership, those who are of high rank. And you can notice in other scriptures that bring out that point, David's daughter had, but David the king, his daughter had a coat of many colors, or diverse colors, as Scripture says. And not just her, there's other instances in Scripture that doesn't quite say it that way, but the principle is there. One of those instances is the high priest. Do you ever notice when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, the Lord tells them to take, look at Exodus, I believe it's Exodus 25. I believe we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, probably only in passing. Exodus 25, when the children of Israel leave out of Egypt, the Lord tells them to borrow from the Egyptians. They borrow gold, silver, and they borrow all types of fabrics, which was used to make the tabernacle. in Genesis and Exodus 25, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin dyed red and badger skin and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The tabernacle was the resident of God, residence of God. That is where he chose to put his name there. That was basically his inheritance. And the people were also his inheritance. So he's dwelling in the tabernacle among the people. And all these items are going to be used to make the tabernacle, not just the tabernacle, but also in Exodus 28, verse 1, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now notice that all that material we just read about, that material is used not just to make the tabernacle, but it's used to make Aaron's and his sons to make their clothing. So you can imagine when you look at the high priest, what you see is an array of colors. You see a man that has a multi-toned, he has a technicolor robe on. I can't help but think that this is not just symbolizes the people, but it also, what he says here, it is for glory and for beauty. It indicates his position as the leader in the worship and service. Everybody didn't wear what the high priest wore. It showed the distinction among the people. His position was different from among the people. Verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And then it goes on to talk about how those things are made. Now, we were just talking about this earlier, about Johnny, about the brother who wore the collar. That collar, to him, was for glory and beauty. It was a designation of his position. So he felt. It was so everybody could know that I am separate, consecrated, if you will, from among the rest of the brethren. So that's what his distinguishing factor was, the collar. And we see it often where either the preacher, he has a long robe, or the collar, or a chain, or some type of, I was going to say costume, or some type of garment that makes a distinction, a visible distinction, which is...
Costume is good.
What's that?
Costume is good.
Costume. Well, that's a little harsh, but Well, I guess it is, because there's now God doesn't recognize positions of authority or consecration based on an outward appearance. Those days are gone. They have no significance now, what a person wears. But here it did. So you can see that those colors, they meant something. They were for glory, for beauty. They were for a consecration. They were for signs that this man is a minister in the tabernacle. It was his position as a Levite, as the high priest. So it was important when you saw those colors. It's no different from maybe a soldier or somebody who is in a authoritative position, where you can see that they may have different patches or badges, where they come highly decorated. And you can look at his attire and you can see that this man has ascended in the ranks. This man has a special position. He's different from the others. So the high priest, that was his defining wear. There's something else too, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this. You know who else had a distinguishing position based on the colors? It was in Ezekiel 28. Look at Ezekiel 28.
Talking about the priest?
Oh, it's
kind of talking about Lucifer.
Kind of like a priest. he was kind of like a priest. Ezekiel 28. And let's start at verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Make note of these now. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, you notice that this was the position. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. That's the position of authority, influence. Did you count those stones up, Jenny?
10.
What a coincidence. This is the position where he was to honor God and work with God. The wisdom and the beauty that he was given, the glory and the beauty that he was given, it was to be a minister. The colors, he didn't get caught up in your own conceits. He looked at how much he knew. He looked at the position given to him. And instead of glorifying God, honoring God in the position, he wanted to take it for himself. This is what Joseph is given. He's given this position from his father, who loved him. His father makes him, through his workmanship, he makes him a coat of many colors that shows his position, that shows his love, that shows that Joseph really is working with the father. his son Joseph is the means by which God is going to further his kingdom. Joseph doesn't know this as yet, so he has the dreams. God gives him the dreams, but Jacob, who should know, he keeps these things close to him. I think the scripture says that he did make note of those things. It wasn't exactly that way, but there's a reason why Joseph, being the firstborn son from Rachel, we can take these things and we make the conclusions that we need to make. So back to Genesis, these colors make a difference. And not only the colors, but the even bigger point is that these men are filled with wisdom and understanding. When Joseph is arrested and he goes into Pharaoh, back to Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Are you surprised?
Nope.
Joseph's prosperity?
No. Nope.
His ascending, even in Egypt? And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. All that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So as we follow these things, again, they shouldn't surprise us. This is going right on schedule. Chapter 40, when Joseph begins to interpret the dreams, Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Now, here's Joseph. Some things have transpired now. Joseph has found favor with God. Joseph is being blessed by God. He's being exalted by God. And not only that, Joseph now has the ability to interpret dreams. God has given him the ability to interpret dreams. Verse 9. Well, we don't have to read all of that, but Joseph interprets the dream for those men. And verse 41, or chapter 41, Pharaoh has a dream. Verse 41, chapter 41, verse 15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Now that's the proper attitude right there. What dost thou have that thou didst not receive? Now this is the exact opposite of what we just read in Ezekiel, where God had given the anointed cherub that covereth the wisdom, the beauty, the ability to understand all secrets. And he took that in and internalized it for himself. Joseph realizes that what he has is from God. Just like Daniel, just like Paul, these revelations that God gives, they deal with what God is doing. They deal with God's purpose. And if you're on the same page as God, then you recognize that it's a privilege that you have that information that's being revealed to you. One of the reasons, that's where Paul, when he prays for the saints in Ephesians, he prays that we might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's God's will that all saints are aware of what he's doing. The reason why we're not is because he's not given supernatural revelation like that anymore. Even though you hear the contrary, when I say that, the contrary, how many times do you hear a believer say God has given them a revelation? God has showed them this. God has revealed this to them. And it has nothing to do with what God is doing today. That's how you know he's not given supernatural revelation, because their revelation has nothing to do with what's going on in the present. Chapter 41, verse 37. After Pharaoh received their interpretation, verse 37 says, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh calls Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh gives Joseph a name, Zaphnath-Paneah. That is the one to whom the secrets are revealed. The man to whom the secrets are revealed. At least Pharaoh recognizes the position also that God has given him. And it had nothing to do with Pharaoh's exaltation of him. Joseph is God's man. God has put him in this position. Although Pharaoh thinks he's doing it. But God is doing this through Joseph in preparation for Jacob and his brethren to come there and to multiply and to become a great nation. Chapter 42, verse 1. Start at verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor of over all the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Sound familiar? That was his dream. That was the first dream that he had, that his brethren was going to bow down before him. And here it is coming true. They don't know it yet. They don't know he's Joseph yet. He hasn't revealed himself yet, but he will. Now, we're not focusing on the way that these are a type of the Lord Jesus, but you can go through and you can see those things, how things that happened to Joseph are typical or typified or types of what will happen to the Lord. Now, he's being in exile, rejected by his brethren, and they finally have to go back to him and bow down before him. Chapter 45, Genesis chapter 45, we'll start at verse 1. Then Joseph could not, Joseph has been concealing himself to this point, and finally he can't take it anymore. Chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord over all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, and thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there I will nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. So you can see that the end of this exile of Joseph, the exaltation of Joseph in Egypt, is in preparation to preserve the nation, to build and preserve the nation, to bring them out of Egypt with great substance into their inheritance. In Genesis 46, verse 25, Jacob moves into Egypt. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. How many is that?
70.
Now, before we move on, this is a significant number too, 70. Because it deals with God's purpose and his people, which is the same. I'll just say this in passing. The 10 and the 7, it's always important because it deals with God's people and his purpose. 17 is the inheritance. That's his people, the heir, and the inheritance. You don't separate the two. When you see it, the 10 and the 7 is 17. 10 and the 7. 70. When you see that, you always see it's God's dealings with his people in terms of the end result, the inheritance and the heirs. In Daniel, he says 70 weeks are determined upon what?
Thy people and thy city.
So here you have 70 people going into Egypt. They go in 70 and they come out 600,000 besides women and children. That's the multiplication, isn't it? Chapter 47, verse 27. Now, this is after all the famine, after Jacob is settled in Egypt, after Joseph sustains them. 47:27, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph, and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he sware unto him. Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. So Jacob dies in chapter 49. He gives his, before he dies, gives his blessings of all his sons. And what we want to pick up in chapter 49 is verse 22, 49:22. This is Jacob's blessing of Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now this is a prophecy. Jacob is saying from Joseph is coming the shepherd. He's prophesying about Christ. And all this begins from Rachel, a firstborn son in his old age, where God is going to use through this man to bring forth the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, that's a prophecy. They're not fully aware of any of those going ons. It's for us, as we go through, we see how these things work themselves out. Chapter 50, Genesis chapter 50, verse 17. After Jacob dies, his brethren think now that he's probably going to take revenge now that his father's dead. Chapter 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil that we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, and the children also of Manasseh, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. That brings us to the conclusion of Joseph. And we skipped a lot of information because we'd be on Joseph for quite a while if we try to cover all the details. Joseph is, he is, the content in Genesis is dealt with him more than any other character, more than Moses, more than Abraham. There's almost 13 chapters devoted just to Joseph. That's a hint for you when you're going through Genesis. Take a little time when you're reading through about Joseph, and you can see how significant the details that Scripture points out about Joseph. So we're going to finish with Joseph. Our next character, when we move on, is actually in Exodus, is going to be Moses. We'll pick up with Moses because they are going to be Israel, is going to multiply in Egypt, and the time frame is going to come to pass for their deliverance. And God is going to raise up the deliverer, Moses, to take Israel on to the next phase. So we'll stop there. We'll pick up again in Exodus next week and move on to Moses. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent covering these things. We pray, as always, that we've had some insight and enlightenment into the character, Joseph. And we just thank you again for the time we spent covering these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.